What's up, guys? Welcome to Just So We're Clear, a podcast brought to you straight out of Singapore with your host, Marissa Tru, and myself, Hanley Hofer. Now, if you've listened to us before, well, you know the deal. But if you're new here, well, hey, welcome.
So on this show, we cover pretty much everything to do with modern life. Female empowerment, sex, mental health, finances, you name it, we do it in the most uncut way possible.
Mm-hmm. So grab a coffee, maybe even a glass of wine.
No, definitely some wine.
Light a scented candle.
Or maybe you're at the gym or you're cooking your dinner. But consider this next hour your time to feel like you're not alone. Because trust us,
we get it. It's Just So We're Clear. Well, 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 our dear listeners, back here, same, same, but different, Hanley and Marissa, coming to you after a tsunami of life experiences. Where do we even begin?
I genuinely don't know, because I think it's been about a month and so much has happened in that time, both you and I together and you and I separately. And I actually need to know a lot more detail about when we were separate, because we haven't actually caught up properly on any of that yet.
That's true. Marissa and I went off to different parts of the world. We were in Spain for a friend's wedding. We had some experiences, some deep realizations, definitely a couple of decent breakdowns. How about you?
Love me a little breakdown.
Love them.
I would actually say my breakdown was like before and then after, but the middle bit of the trip was just excellent.
Mm.
It was like, it's like the post-holiday blues where you come back home and you put your bag in the corner and you're not planning to unpack for a good 48 hours. And then you're just like, oh, I guess we're back.
Mm, that is exactly where I'm at today. So actually, let's use that as our traditional vibe check.
Mm.
So vibe check for me, I arrived back in Singapore a little over 24 hours ago. I am definitely sleep deprived, jet lagged to the max. I am having my holiday come down, which is what you discussed, which is when you come back from such a great time and you realize that life is life, and here we are.
Yeah, all your responsibilities just wash back over you, and you're like, shit.
Yep, the inbox is full. There is a stream of WhatsApps that I didn't reply that
including mine
that I have to get to. And so, frankly, I still am feeling a bit overwhelmed.
Mm.
Yeah, that's my vibe check. I'm overwhelmed.
It's a good, succinct way to put it. Overwhelm is a very good way to capture a lot of feelings. My vibe check is I have been home for 2 weeks now. I went through the same motion of like the post-holiday blues and then having the whole like, why do I live here? We could move away and life could be amazing. And then to just feeling very, very exhausted because I'm about to jet off again back to Europe, this time for work. And I'm at that point now where I'm like, you know when you're supposed to be so grateful for the opportunities and experiences that you're being given, but you're so tired at the same time. So you're trying to maintain that gratitude, but you're like, please, no more.
Yeah.
It's really hard to tell people, oh, I'm flying to Paris for a week for work, all expenses covered, and being like, I don't want to do it. I'm too tired.
Yeah. Because people are going to be like, fuck you, it's Paris. What's
yeah, exactly.
Wrong with you?
Suck it up.
Yeah.
Get over it.
But it's a real thing. Life is exhausting. So interestingly, Marissa and I did have time to kind of catch up before we started recording. And there's so much to cover. I think one of the first things that we wanted to talk about was the most obvious thing, was our encounters with the opposite sex.
Because you know us, guys. We love to drag men. Every single time. I mean, our last episode, we created our infidelity ladder. We spilled the tea on a certain snake in the grass. Like, we were overall, I'm going to say, disappointed in the masculine energy that was pointing in our direction. But we've changed course slightly. Some of us might go as far to say as revised our opinions of the male kind.
Mm.
No? Yes?
Yeah. I think this is the best way to put it. I think, I mean, you guys know I went through a breakup earlier this year, 3 months ago, maybe 3.5 months ago. It was still relatively fresh. And so I was coming from a place of just
hurt
and being really sensitive towards male energy, because that's what happens when you're going through a heartbreak, right? Everything mm-hmm. just feels really heightened and sensitive. And Marissa, on the other hand, had been going through her ups and downs of single life.
Yeah, like I was actively dating via apps, via just being on nights out, all that sort of things. And it's fatiguing. It's a different kind of burnout, and overall yielded very little reward for me, which led me down a path of just like, men just kind of suck, don't they?
It just wasn't like a very positive vibe that we were getting from the opposite sex.
It was I feel like the theme for it was like, let down, like disappointment, like
just it wasn't working out.
You didn't meet the minimum standard, and that was shocking to us.
So that was then, but this is us now. Because times have changed. Both of us had, would it be fair to say, a little holiday flings?
I would say,
let's use that title for what we both encountered. We both had our fair share of love abroad, and we're coming back and we're feeling a little revived, and it's making me feel hopeful.
Yes, because it goes to show that they're not all bad.
They're not all bad, are they?
We met some really good ones.
Yeah.
Really good ones.
I met this really lovely gentleman, and he honestly, like, for the headspace I was in to be overseas, still healing from heartbreak, he was a total gem. And I'm really grateful for that encounter. Like, it wasn't anything too serious at all. Super casual, super lovely. And it just gave me that sense that, okay, number one, there are so many great guys out there for real, actually, though. Mm-hmm. Like, there are really decent human males. And I could have had an encounter with a douchebag. You know, I could have had an encounter with someone who made me feel low value, because that happens when you put yourself out there.
Yeah.
But instead, I had this little fling with this guy who was just so lovely. And it's given me this new perspective in my healing journey of hope. Like, there is a lot of good out there. There are wonderful people out there. And it's, you know what? Not to make this too deep, but it's this idea that, like, it's totally challenging what we already have been challenging for ages of the concept of the one. Like, of course, everyone finds their one person that they end up with. But to limit yourself in your search to the idea of the one.
Why have one when you can have many?
When you can, but there's so many connections out there. Mm-hmm. I think that's the idea. Like, the idea that you're going to find one connection with one great person for your life. Like that, like, let's break that. And let's be open to lots of amazing different connections with lots of people. And just stay open to that. And then that's what will come.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. I feel like when people kind of put themselves out into the world, whether it's just to meet people, whether it's to actually start a relationship, I don't know, find your future baby daddy, like whatever it is. A lot of people go in with fixed template in their mind of what it's supposed to look like and fit that mold. But I've noticed, not just in my own experience, but also across multiple friends, is the moment people completely suspend that expectation, because, say, for example, you know, they're on holiday or they don't live in the same cities, because it's so finite and all those pressures are removed, that's when the most genuine connections are actually 100%. Occurring.
It's like, when you don't expect it, that's when it comes.
Yeah.
And it comes back to this whole thing of, like, don't seek attract.
Yes, that I definitely want to touch on this conversation. Because, so, I mean, in the dating realm, yes, I've been completely bummed out. And it upset me that it was making me see men as this really disappointing thing in my life. Because I would go as far to say is I have extremely positive connections with men. You know, primarily through my father, and also some of my closest friends are all men. So, like, it frustrated me that it was being tainted by my dating experience, or like this one little pillar of my life was dominating, or like it was like a poison that was seeping out across my other relationships. But we had that discussion on the last episode, I think, where I was like, I'm just done with this. And then we talked about the whole attract, don't seek principle. And so in that time, I think it's been, what, over a month, I've completely stopped seeking altogether. I've just focused on my own lane, whether it's work or my friendships or just my health. And what I've noticed is, and these aren't necessarily men that I, you know, I plan on dating, but men that I've, that were, you know, good people, but things didn't pan out, have all started to resurface across time. And suddenly I was waking up being like, how is this person still, like, how did they even remember me? Or why have they popped up in my inbox? Or why did that DM just come through? And being like, ah, I don't know what I'm doing different. I don't know what visibility they have over what I'm up to, but there they were.
So this is the, this is like the law of attraction. If you chase something, it's not going to come. Mm-hmm. But if you just sit back and like go inward with your energy and put everything truly within yourself, you become a magnet for the things that are true to you.
It's like a mirage. Like when you go try to touch it, it disappears.
It disappears. Anything that you chase is not true to you, because you shouldn't have to chase the things that are right for you. So this whole idea of like attract, don't seek, it truly is taking all that energy and all that focus that we were putting outwards and just U-turning it into ourselves to a point that we are so like engaged with our own magnetism that we literally become magnets.
But what's also interesting about that is that when you do stop seeking, you start to realize how many excuses you've made for other people that you would potentially hope to be in your periphery. Like say you're attracted to somebody.
Yeah.
So you're hoping that like that they're attracted back. And the number of rationales you'll make because you're trying to justify that seeking behavior is ridiculous.
Okay, give me an example.
Like, okay, like for example, I remembered going on a date a while back and I found the person super attractive. A lot of their personality traits really ticked a lot of boxes for me. And I was like, wow, this is the kind of person that I think I would actually want to date. But they also had a lot of shortcomings and red flags that I was 100% willing to totally overlook because I wanted all the, like everything that was on paper, everything that just in my mind was my list. Mm-hmm. Listen, the moment I stopped the seeking behavior and just left it up to attract and completely put my hands up, I was like, that was not supposed to be for me.
And then, I see. I know exactly what you mean. It's like, I want this so bad that I'm willing to like ignore the yellow and red flags. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was an amber alert from the start. Yeah. And then it turned crimson and I was still there being like, but what if?
Yeah.
And then now, because I've just taken all that pressure off myself, I guess, I'm just like, yo.
Yeah.
Like the moment even a symbol, like a fraction of that sign comes up, I'm like, no. I don't want that. Mm. I really don't. And it's liberating.
It is. It is. So yeah, I mean, girls, guys, become the magnets. Take everything that we're giving out to others and literally put it back into ourselves. But that being said, that is a lot harder to do consciously than it is to just say it as that, like that, because you really need to just surrender. And actually, that's a theme that came up for me in my recent travel, because like, I'll be totally honest with you guys, we went to this wedding, and then I had a few days after and I was going to go to Mallorca, and I kind of put that trip on like a pedestal, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do some solo travel out there. It's been a really long few weeks of emotions and healing through the breakup, and I'm going to pit this trip as like my little gift to myself to enjoy my own liberation, enjoy my solitude. And then I got to the country, I got to the beach, I got to this beautiful spot, and frankly, I was miserable. I was so lonely. Like I really felt, for the first time, I felt so freaking alone, and I wasn't able to control the feeling. And I found myself getting frustrated at myself for not being happy in this beautiful environment. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is exactly where I went wrong. Like I put an expectation on, even as something simple as a holiday, like I still gave it an expectation and I tried to control it.
Right. So then when you realized that, what did you do?
Oh, I realized it too late. I only realized it after it passed.
Got you.
Yeah.
Well, and that, I mean, I feel like that's also an important lesson.
I had to sit in it. Like, yeah. I you know, I reached out to some people and I was like, I'm freaking miserable. And they were like, you just have to sit and ride through the waves. And I was like, okay, yes, but this sucks. But then after I came out of the storm, I realized like, it's because I truly was trying to control myself. I was trying to control my emotions. Yeah. I was like trying to not let the stuff that surfaced come up because I was so hell-bent on being this like happy, free, solo person in this gorgeous like environment. And when I wasn't being her, I was so frustrated.
It's because you were trying to put across that look at me now energy.
Yeah.
And you were... You had a result in mind without really understanding how exactly you were going to get there. And so you disappointed yourself in the realizing that it just doesn't come that easy. If it's not organic, if it's forced, it's not going to feel good.
Yeah.
That is that whole difference between like being alone and feeling lonely. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you were alone and you weren't banking on that feeling lonely because you were just like, I'm going to hot girl summer this shit.
I know.
Like, I'm going to thrive. Everyone's going to watch my stories and be like, who's that girl? I mean, you're going to get your boobs out on the beach.
Yeah.
And like, be that idea of if you were watching that person's stories, be like, damn, she's thriving. And you were just not feeling that inside.
It was horrible. And I mean, it was turbulent. Like in the morning, I'd be like, yes, new day, new me. Mm-hmm. And then by 3 p.m., I'd be like, fuck this. I just want to go back to my hotel room, curl up in a corner and just be miserable and like eat a whole pizza to myself.
It's so interesting because I feel like with my trip, I went the total opposite approach where, I mean, I don't know if you guys could tell based on the last episode, but like I was not in a good headspace. Like I was not having a good time. And I was so sensitive about like everything was a trigger. Everything would make me cry. And so I thought, I'm going to retreat. I'm going to go spend some time with family in London. I'm not going to make any plans. I'm going to completely hide away. And in that, even when I was spending time on my own, I was having the best time. Everything felt cleansed. Everything felt light. I was sleeping like a dream. Mm. Like I cannot tell you enough how magical sleep is when you're an insomniac and it's just taken from you. And like, you know, I reserved my time for a few people. I didn't come to London and be like, I need to catch up with everybody. It was like, I'm going to see you, you and you. And that's going to be it. And if I'm going to spend a Saturday lying on the sofa rewatching Schitt's Creek, so be it. And I remember the few stories that I did put up of like, say, me with my brother's dog or like me walking down a park. That's when people were like most receptive to it, where they were like, oh, you're clearly having a good time or you're clearly feeling refreshed. And it was so true because I went in with no expectations at all.
We did the opposites.
We did, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it paid off because by the time, honestly, before the wedding, I was anxious that I was not going to be able to be okay internally for the wedding, that I was going to have to put on a brave face and smile and for the photos, but not feel connected to it whatsoever. But that 1 week beforehand meant that that wedding was the best time that I think I've had in the longest time. Mm. Like, I cannot attest enough how magical that wedding was.
Because you had zero expectations. And you just let yourself be.
None. We looked excellent. We were laughing to the point of tears. We all got chaotically drunk together to the point where, like, I still think back on it and I'm looking through the photos and I actually laugh out loud every time I see them. Like,
nice.
It's like this perfect little time capsule that I want to cherish as being like as fantastic as it was.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Lessons on lessons. And it's just such a fundamental lesson, isn't it? Like, it's just like, it's back to basics. Like, always come back to basics. Like, zero expectations. And just, it was like this quote, and it was like, I think Rumi, but it was like, wherever you are, there you are.
Mm-hmm. Like, be situated.
Yeah. Wherever you are, there you are.
Yeah.
So, you could be on the most beautiful beach in Mallorca, but that does not guarantee that you're going to be feeling beautiful on a beach in Mallorca.
No.
Yeah. So that was my lesson there. But after Mallorca, I joined some friends in Ibiza and the totally shifted. Just being around people that I love, like, definitely made a difference.
Oh, yeah. You went full party.
I went full party mode. And I'm very girl, I literally went out 4 or 5 days in a row.
It was very much like 21-year-old Han back on the scene.
And I'm so happy I did that because this girl, this little, like, and I have a, like, she parties, okay? MTV was like, that was true. Like,
but that was my favorite thing.
Backstage, all of that. Like, even though it was a decade ago, she's still in me.
That was the thing. I would watch your stories or like get the videos you would send us on text, and all I would think is, there she is.
Yes.
Like she's this back. This is her.
This side of me, which is just so like grasping of life. She definitely came back in Ibiza, and it was like soul recharging. And that was when I encountered that very lovely gentleman. And here's another lesson that I learned about myself. Like, I haven't been single really since I was like 27.
Yeah.
So like 3 years now. 27-year-old me, she was a lot more able to just hook up. Mm-hmm. Like, listen, I am all for a sexually empowered woman, whatever that looks like to her.
Yeah.
I am all for women having choices on choices, no judgment. Like, live your freaking life. Do what you want to do. And for the longest time in my 20s, like when I was single, and even before that, when I was single, when I was like in my late teens, early 20s, I really like felt like I lived up to that idea of like, I'll see it, I want it, I
yeah.
got it.
Yeah.
Go get your life and get what you want, girls. Like, do you. I am not that girl anymore in terms of like hookups. Like I can't just hook up anymore.
Let's contextualize. What did a hookup look like to you when you were younger? Are we talking like one night stand vibe?
Like not necessarily one night stand, but it was like, I would know within the first 5 minutes if I was going like, to hook up with that person.
I'm going to get mine.
Yeah.
Sort of like mentality.
Like if he walked in the room and I saw him and I was like, he cute, I've decided we're hooking
okay,
up.
Okay. So now fast forward to 30. What does it look like? You're looking at a guy being like, he cute, I could get it. Do I want to get it? Are we connected? Does he have anything
yes!
to say that I value?
Yes. Now it's like, what does he value? What's his love language? What are his morals? Does he have a savings account?
Like, is he staying at my hotel because he doesn't have a place to go?
Yeah. Does he have ambition? Is he a homeowner? I cannot believe that type of shift in me. And listen, this is all my older friends are like, welcome to dating in your 30s.
It's so interesting to me because, I mean, I was not one to hook up with anybody because I was very, very shy. Mm-hmm. And it was just too bold for me to ever proposition that. But then after my relationship, I put myself in the mindset of like, no, you're going to go out. You're going to get yours.
Experiences. Go,
exactly.
Go,
I was
go.
Like, let's build the stats.
Collect them like Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go.
We're going to get the stamp for the free coffee. And then I just remembered like the first couple like casual hookup scenarios. I had convinced myself so actively that this was exactly what I wanted that I was like, yeah. But looking back on it now, I'm like, we didn't actually like it that much. Like, it was fun. I don't regret it, but it didn't actually serve me that much. But then, say, do you remember there was a few episodes back, I spoke about like that one date with the guy who didn't live here.
The yachty hottie?
Yachty hottie!
The yachty hottie.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. But like, that was where I wanted to hook up with him because we had spent the day getting to know each other, talking about our values and our morals and our principles and our goals and our ambitions and our dreams and everything. And I was like, oh, he is so attractive.
Yes. Now this shit matters.
It always mattered, but now we're honoring it to a level that we should have done the whole time.
We're just like, we're not being as shallow about it. That's the term.
Because
that's true. Back then I was like, he cute. Okay. But now I'm like,
oh my God, he has an insurance plan.
Yeah, like, do you journal?
When was the last time you saw your therapist?
Yes, like, I truly think that the whole hookup culture I'm leaving behind in my 20s, which is something I didn't think I would ever do. Because I always saw myself as a Samantha. Sex in the City reference for those who don't know. I always saw myself as a Samantha who was able to detach and, like, just have fun on that physical front. But now I'm truly, like, no, I'm a Charlotte. I need connection.
But it's interesting because like I think what we're doing is it's not to say that you're not going to, you know, hook up or have casual encounters. It's just redefining who you would go for in those situations. Because I would say like I still plan on hooking up with people while I'm single because I have the freedom and the flexibility to do so. But I'm just a lot more selective over
yes.
who I want to do that with. I'm not going to be like, he's hot, I'm going to go make out with him. I'm going to be like, oh, he's got a semblance of a personality. And
yes.
oh my God, he can hold a conversation with
yes.
me. But that's always been the case for me, I think. It's just now that I'm like, now that little single vengeful Marissa is like, I'm just going to go and like kiss everyone I see, is now just like, let's focus on actual attraction.
Yes.
Like attraction is so, so important, and it's not just physical, but the physical helps.
100%. And as women, we really do need all those layers in order to feel safe, in order to open up, to take it to a physical level.
But
and
also
now I think it's like now I had the encounter to recognize that I have no choice but to honor that.
But it's also the importance of the fact, and I'm sure this goes for most people, not just women, that say you see someone who's cute in a bar and it turns out he's a total douche. He just becomes less attractive.
Oh, he instant uggo.
Exactly. Instant uggo. But then you see a guy who's like low-key uggo. But he's funny, he's kind, he's respectful, he's smart, and you're just like
instant hottie.
Instant hottie. That's instant what I'm hottie. Saying. Like people's face and energy change, and like it's not to say that you think they are necessarily attractive, but you are attracted to them.
It's the energy. You're
it
attracted
is.
To their energy, and then their energy does this trick with your eyes where it like changes their face and suddenly they cute.
Yeah, and the most magical combination is when you find someone who's like low-key cute and then their personality matches and you're like 10 out of 10. Hello. Hi.
Yes.
My name is Marissa.
Yes. Well, I will now give myself the patience for that to actually happen. And you know what? I'm really comfortable with it, because before I left to Spain, I was feeling, like I said earlier, sensitive. Mm-hmm. Around male energy, mm-hmm. just because I was suspicious. And that's what happens when you're in a place of hurt and betrayal. Like you don't know what to trust anymore.
Okay. So what we're saying, okay, let's paint a picture. We are saying aesthetically, Jason Momoa. Emotionally, who's someone like?
I don't know.
Who's emotionally available? James Corden. I don't know.
Matthew Hussey. A fucking coach.
Trigger warning.
Another life coach. God damn, Hanley.
Yeah, but he's like in a successful relationship.
Yes.
So we can assume that as a coach, he actually knows what he's doing.
Yes. Well,
okay,
either way. Yeah.
Sense of humor.
Oh.
Who do you find funny?
God. Liza Scherzinger.
You want your dude to have Eliza Scherzinger's
yes,
sense of humor?
Yes, she's hilarious.
Okay, Eliza energy.
I don't know. Who's a funny dude? I kind of think of the top of my jet-lagged head.
I think of British people, so I think of like Russell Howard.
Oh yeah. That
he's
kind
good.
Of geeky.
Yeah.
No, I don't have a funny dude off the top of my head right now. I'm just not interested. Yeah.
Okay, call me in 2 weeks. Call me in 2 weeks where your womanizer runs out of battery and then we'll talk.
I haven't even whooped out the sex toys. I feel like I have this like block, and until I'm like, that's the thing that I've really noticed, like until I'm healed to my most conscious of knowing what that means, I am not going to force anything. I'm not going to have any expectations.
Wait, we're talking about other people though, right? Or are we talking about you're not even using your toys at the minute?
I'm really not even interested in my toys.
So you have
I'm just like
no
not,
sexual appetite.
I'm asexual. Like after Spain, I'm just going to be asexual for a while.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've never been here before because I'm quite a horny person.
I was going to say that like
it's this new territory for
like
me.
I'm currently like not fixated on dating. I've got so many other priorities, but the one thing that is consistent is I'm making sure all of those toys are charged.
Really?
Because it's not even like
I literally have a giant box of sex toys and they're all derelict to me right now.
Yeah, it's like your rose quartz anal bead or whatever. Butt plug.
Yeah. She's now only for cleansing purposes.
We charge her in the moonlight.
That is where I'm at. And I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, you should be fine with
I'm
that.
I'm putting all of that energy back into myself. And,
but that's why pour your energy back into yourself, which is why you should charge these toys. Because this isn't about like, oh, I'm going to, I don't know, fantasize about a man while I'm doing this. It was very much like, this is for me right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll let you know if I get there. Who knows? Maybe the next episode I'll be like, I'm horny again.
I mean, I had so when we throw back to like when we did a event with Lilo and
Lilo's a sex toy company, by the way, everyone.
Yes. And I was very openly on stage sharing with a whole bunch of women my journey with toys.
Wait, context. Marissa was one of the host moderators for this little session with a sex toy company. And she went up there with a friend of ours, Nick Selena, who runs a Sex in the City Singapore podcast, to talk about their experiences as a woman and sex.
Yes. Thank you for the context.
You're welcome, Melissa.
Triggered. So I was there on stage explaining to everyone about my journey with sex toys and like understanding the role that they were going to play in my life, and then posting the stories afterwards because it was a event that I was really proud to do. Mm-hmm. And it was something I would have never dreamed of doing. I didn't even own a sex toy 2 years ago. That's how fresh this journey is. And I had a number of my closest guy friends commenting on my Instagram stories being like, yo, so you like changed a bit? We've noticed that you're a lot more out there. And I was like, yeah, but it's in like a good way, right? And they were like, I'm just a little confused.
Get it. Evolve, change, grow. We're literally like, we are going in opposite directions in a sense.
Hear me?
We really are. Because like when we first met, like girlfriend, you were a nun. You were a good girl.
Yeah, but I was a nun.
No, you were a good girl in that sense.
Yes, but I was a nun with like an appetite. I was just too afraid to satiate.
You were like a hungry nun.
I was a thirsty nun.
Yeah. And I was just like. You describe me.
You were the one that comes to church to repent.
Yeah, I was the friend at the table who had stories.
Yes. So I would always come and be like, teach me your ways.
Yes. And now it's the other way. Now I'm like, I'm good being a nun for a while. And you're on the other side being like, I'm going to get on a mic and talk about orgasms.
100%.
As we're doing right now.
So I've decided that I want to be a philanthropist in that I want to make the world a better place one orgasm at a time. So what I did after this event was I gifted a very close friend of mine, Alilo. Because she hadn't had one before. I think she had like a basic toy. It wasn't really doing much for her, but she had it for the sake of just having something. And it meant that like her relationship with, you know, masturbation and orgasms was something that she hadn't really explored that much. So I thought, let's just kick it along a little. So
that's a love language.
It's a love language. So I gifted her a toy. And then, interestingly, she messaged me after being like, this has been groundbreaking. Like, this is absolutely, she's like, there's obviously more work to be done, but this has changed the game. And then at the same time, her partner came up to me to be like, thank you. And I thought that was so pure. Like, it benefits everybody when everyone's comfortable in their own skin to explore their bodies and just make themselves feel good.
And this is what girlfriends are for, you know, like, I love the kind of conversations that I can have with our friends and mm-hmm. with you where, like, I can teach you a sex position.
Yeah.
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 I have.
You have.
You're welcome.
I've been teaching strangers that now.
And girls, if we ever have drinks, I'll teach it to you. But it just comes to show, like, talk about it, embrace it, normalize it. Let's keep these.
And it just gets more fun that way.
It just gets more fun. Like, share the wisdom.
Yeah, sharing is caring. And I do think everyone deserves an orgasm fairly regularly. And that is going to be my life's work.
So if there's anything to take away from today's episode, like, check in on your friends' sex lives.
Yeah. And
get in the details. How are they doing? Where are they at? What are the hacks they use? What angles do they work with?
What music are we listening to? Are we talking candlelight?
Or are we no music? Are you connection? Or are you still able to just get it because the itch is there?
Lights on, lights off. Daylight, nighttime, morning, afternoon delight. What are we saying?
And also, like, who else is out there on their journey and they're realizing that connection matters? Because I can't believe how clear that was made to me.
I can't believe that it was surprising to you now.
Yeah.
Because obviously in a relationship, you understand the importance of the connection in your sex life. But I'm surprised that
the hookup culture that it mattered to me now. Maybe back then it was easier for me to just connect with a guy because I wasn't looking for all these like boxes.
So your own self-awareness.
I was just like, you got a good sense of humor. You got a good Spotify playlist. Let's have fun.
Oh my God, you listen to Masego? Turn it up.
Yeah. It was just a lot easier for me because I think I was a bit more like bright-eyed and like
bushy-tailed.
Yeah, to be like, let's just have fun. Let's live life. But what heartbreak will do to you is just wise you up a bit and give you a different set of standards that you now want to work with.
Yeah, you just changed what you're looking for when you consider someone attractive. And also just the surface level stuff just doesn't compute. Because I mean, if you think about it, like you go to a bar and there's a smoke show, like let's say he's a professional model, he's super fit, he's athletic, whatever. But then, I don't know, you say, I don't know, what's the capital of England? And he just stares at you. Like, I cannot climb that tree at that point. Like, I can't do it. Like, I can't be like, just keep your mouth shut.
I know.
I don't think I've ever been able to do that because I'm just like, I find a sense of security and comfort knowing that there's a little mental connection, even if it's small, that it's there.
Well, listen, of course there has to be mental connection in the past, but it's just not okay. Well, for me, yes, I definitely needed like a little bit, but now it's just, it's not even mental. Like now it's like, there needs to be like a real connection. Which means that the next year, 2 years of my life is going to be very challenging. Because how hard is it to find good connections? Hard.
But to go back to something we were just discussing earlier this episode, it's about being open to connections looking different across different people and different kinds of connection. Because like a connection I've had with someone I've dated before where I really liked them is completely different to the type of connection that I feel with someone that I've recently met, sort of thing. And so it's just being like, both of those have been excellent, but they served me in different ways and they still helped.
Yes. It's just, it's a lot of recognition of our own evolution, I think, in the last month. It's a lot of looking back at who we were versus who we are now. And it's honoring that constant change that we all are supposed to go through and not judging it. And just letting it be. I think that's the place that we want to land and stay at.
Yeah, like a Shaolin monk, be like water. Take the form of whatever you're in.
Even if it vibrates.
Oh, especially if it
vibrates. If it vibrates, you vibrate. Just vibrate. Then we attract. Everyone just become a vibrator. Girl, everyone likes them.
Yes, I agree with this. We need to put it on another t-shirt. Be like a vibrator.
Yeah. So what's it like? Don't chase, vibrate.
Don't.
Yes! That's amazing.
This is why they pay me.
Yes, well done.
It's so interesting though, because I was recently talking to a friend and I had watched this clip and I think it came from a podcast, but I can't remember what it was called. And he was talking about the instantaneous feeling of connection when you meet someone versus compatibility and chemistry, which is something that you kind of
the spark.
Yes. Like this the je ne sais quoi, when you're like, who is this person? And I don't know why, and I don't know enough about them to know whether we're compatible or whether we have a lot of chemistry, but for some reason I'm inclined towards them. And it doesn't have to be romantic, it can be friendships as well. And then as I was talking about this with one of my closest friends, and what we explored was how it translated into our relationship. So him and I have been friends for over a decade, and we were saying that when we met, we had an instant connection. We were like, I'm gonna get along with you, and I don't know why, but we will. But that connection, I don't know, say you are vibrating at similar frequencies, but that similar frequency is what allows resonance to occur, and resonance allows you to enable a higher frequency or a higher amplitude, meaning you'll be able to achieve more. So it's kind of this idea of like the relationships that help you grow. Well, when it comes to, I don't know, chemistry or compatibility, sometimes you rest in that as like your comfort zone. You're like, oh, I'm like you, you're like me. So you're not connected per se, but you're bound. And so you sort of stay in that time. And it's like, you know, when you have those friends that are really old friends and your relationship doesn't evolve because it's like a safe zone.
Yes.
You're just like, I get to go back to you and we get to joke about the things we used to joke about when we were 15.
Yes. When I'm back with you, I'm 15 again.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like learning to distinguish between the relationships that help you reach a higher self because of that connection versus the compatibility or chemistry that allows you to stay situated in one place.
Yeah, I mean, we should always seek out the first because we want the relationships in any regard to be ones that elevate and accelerate our growth and inspire.
Yeah.
And to not stay comfortable and just stay stagnant.
Yeah, and enable you to evolve. But if you think about, there's always the friendships where there's the person who says, I don't know, I feel like you've changed, as if it's a bad thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like that also translates to romantic relationships where you're like, you're not the same person that we when we first went out, and therefore our relationship is dying, rather than like continuously evolving together.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
I feel like that's another thing that I've been picking up on a lot lately.
That's like the silent heartbreak. That is something that hits us all on so many levels. It's when you actually like look back at a certain relationship with this totally different lens and you realize like, this is it. We've reached our peak.
Yeah,
we've kind of reached our quota.
Yeah, we kind of finished the game and I don't want to play it again.
I can't further myself with you.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And I know it kind of goes against the whole like you shouldn't be depending or needing others to further yourself. But
you do.
In a romantic relationship, you should. You should uphold that standard that you want to be with someone that enhances your growth.
But also, no one should ever have to do anything alone. Like, to gain the support of others, no matter how it looks like, is a benefit to you.
Yeah, that's why I left my long-term relationship. I was with my ex for like 6 years. And I got like to a point where I was like, yeah, our time is done. Like, I've reached my full potential here. And I think you have too. But I'm going to be the one who says it first.
But that's...
And then we're going to have to end it because I can't continue this because there's nothing to, like, I can't grow anymore. Like, we've outgrown the mold.
And I feel like that leads to sort of two new outlooks on potential future relationships, which is, one, does that mean every relationship sort of has its natural expiry date? And so you can learn to accept that and move on and find the next thing. Or are you going to do the very much harder task of finding someone that's as fluid as you're going to be and evolve alongside you?
Number two.
Yeah, 100%. But that's obviously going to be harder.
Yes.
And that's why I feel like most people pick the first one and they either never leave that relationship and they're just stagnant for the rest of time, or they leave and go on to the next to get their next rush, but they never really understand that, like, it's never going to bring them to that higher self or that they're going to require a consistent churn of people to reach that higher self.
Yeah. I mean, listen, both are okay. Both are fine options. There's no greater or within the other.
Yeah.
Just in my personal opinion, I would want to end up with someone who just the resonance continuously pushes me to that higher level.
Absolutely agree.
That's the goal. It's not easy to find.
But I'm banking 40. I think it's going to take me another decade.
You think we're going to get there at 40?
No, I think you might get there sooner because I already have in my mind who you're going to end up with. But I think for me, I'm a late bloomer to everything. So I got to give myself like an additional few years. I know who your man is. I don't know. I don't know his name. I don't know when he was born. I know he's older.
Divorcee.
I know he wears.
We've talked about this. He's probably going to be a divorcee.
He's 100% a divorcee. He has built multiple successful businesses.
He's going to be a zaddy.
He loves white linen.
He does.
He wears brown leather Birkenstocks.
Yeah.
But he's like hanging and
yeah. And he's just so accepting.
And he's going to see you and be like, yep, she's the one. And it's going to be a done deal because you're going to see him and be like, ? And then very rapidly be like, nah.
Yeah. Marissa and I had this chat where we kind of decided that the guy I meet, I'll probably marry. Like, if the guy that I would ever end up with, like, the moment I meet him, we're probably going to get married 6 months later.
100%.
It's going to be 100%. One of those like, found you, love you, this is it. Let's lock it in.
Because you've done so much work that I think by that point, you're going to know it when you see it.
How beautiful. Gorgeous. But don't let him show up in my life for another 2 years because I don't want that so soon.
Girl, I can't control the timing.
Ugh.
But it just means you have to be mindful about, like, if any shiny new object comes, really questioning whether that's the one or not. Because I think you're probably in a mindset, and correct me if I'm wrong, where you're going to be like, I'm sure plenty of prospects are going to come up, but I'm actively not going to unless I'm sure. Or like, you know, in like Twilight, where this is going to be a creepy example, where the wolf sees the baby and he's like, that's my wife.
The imprint?
The imprint! That's going to happen for you. I see an imprint happening for you.
I'm the baby. He's going to be older.
He's going to be a clean 15 to 20 years older than you.
Bitch.
No, trust me. He's still got it.
What? But okay, wait. If I do the math, he's going to be in his... Okay, no. 15. I don't want 20.
He's going to be like a rich
roll
vibe.
I'm 30. I don't need him to be 50 right now.
He's a rich roll vibe.
Rich roll. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That is my vibe.
Yes.
That's totally my vibe.
That's your brand.
He's going to be silver. Peppery.
Oh,
okay, not silver. Peppery. He's not that old.
No, Silver Fox is a vibe. What?
But like, okay, let's just see.
Let's just see. No, you know what?
Let's just see. I'm putting expectations out there. This is against everything we just talked
about.
He's
probably already got a kid. Just saying.
Oh, man.
It's okay. You can have more. He's still got it. He's just going to, you know, he's like a rabbit. You can be pregnant by month 9.
Oh, my God. I'm scared. I'm like blushing. I'm nervous.
I can already see the wedding mandala.
There'll be like 3 people around it.
Yeah, I'll be one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, if this comes true.
I'm psychic.
You're psychic. I still don't know who you're going to end up with. So
I don't know who
maybe
I'm
you're
end up
maybe
with.
40. I don't think 40.
I just hope that they're kind and smart and supportive and funny and athletic and tall. All those things. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
I do those
it's
things.
It's not that hard.
Yeah. I'm all those things.
Just be tall. It's not that hard.
Grow.
Just grow. Fuck.
Be the full package. Seriously.
Yeah.
If I am, you have to be.
It's really not that hard.
Read a book.
Okay, guys. I feel like that's the best time as ever to wind down. You know the deal. Like, follow, share, subscribe, write in.
Rate. 5 stars out of 5, please.
We appreciate. And catch you in a couple weeks.
Love you.